everyone, and welcome to the Catalyst Stories podcast. I'm John Hino, your host for today's episode. And today, I'm so blessed to welcome Elena Padilla to the podcast. Elena has been attending Catalyst for the past 12 years. She's part of the prayer and healing team. She is also part of Ross and Ida's small group, and she has two children, son David and daughter Summer. And with that, Elena, welcome to Catalyst Stories.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, I'm so excited to have you on the podcast. And as I shared with you earlier, the most difficult part of having you on was trying to decide which testimonies to talk about, because the Lord has been so evident throughout your faith journey, and so excited to have you here.
Yeah.
And so I want to jump right into your testimonies. When you were 7 years old, you attended a prayer service at your grandparents' home in Mexico, and some amazing things happened. And so, to start, I'm curious to know how this prayer service ended up being at your grandparents' home.
Okay.
Remember?
So I'm going to talk about a little bit about my grandparents.
All right. Okay.
So my grandparents live in front of my dad and my mom's house. And my grandpa and my grandma have the heart for the missionaries.
Wow.
So all the time we can see different people and my grandma's and my grandpa's house. So this pastor, it was a pastor from Mulegé, Mexico, Baja California Sur, so more south.
Okay.
So this pastor, when he come and preach to different churches in Baja, he always stay in my grandpa's house. So he can come to Tijuana or Ensenada and preach like in a big church, but he returned to my grandpa's house and stay over there.
Wow.
So we know the soon as he get with my grandpa and my grandma, we hear the guitar, we hear the worship songs, and so everybody runs to grandma and grandpa. So that day, it was a service, and it was just family, but the presence of the Lord, it was so strong. These pastors can pray for you, and you can go on the floor in the spirit. This is like a different level of ministration So I remember I was right there in the living room, and the pastor, the woman, she say, "Hey, Elena, you know, just close your eyes and receive whatever God has for you." So I remember like an open heart. I was like 7, and I just closed my eyes and I said, "Okay, Jesus, I just give all my life to you, and this is in your hands." And I remember she started praying for me. Mm-hmm. And the moment that she started praying for me, I was in the floor. The presence of the Holy Spirit was so strong.
Wow.
And the only thing that I remember, it was a room full of light and gold. I just saw it. I was on the floor for a couple minutes, and I just saw it. And for me, I was thinking it was just heaven, because it was beautiful. It was just light, you know, when the sun is coming.
Yeah.
So everything it was in me, the sun, the sunshine, it was just gold. Yeah. It was so precious, but at the same time, I was feeling the Lord fulfill me right there. My life give like a little shift for him.
Yeah.
Because that one, it was my first experience, like very strong in the spirit.
Wow. And how did things change for you after this experience? What was different about you moving forward?
I just continue going to church, It's just like, for me, I went to church Tuesday, Thursday, Saturdays, and Sundays. Uh-huh. And then, so I was in church like all the time. And you know what? Sometimes, when you're growing up, sometimes you get tired. I'm like, oh, I don't want to go to church. But I remember in my spirit, always I was so hungry from God. Mm. Always when I pray the Lord, I forget about the things around me and concentrate in God. Always He have the whole, I just give all my love And I think we, you know, it's why God is so faithful with me, because he knew the love that I have for him.
Yeah, yeah. And now you also had another missionary, and this was a lady that came to your grandparents' house, and she also impacted you in a very powerful way. And I wondered if you can talk about what she said to you.
So this one is another missionary.
That experience. Okay, yeah. So I'm going to segue into that story now. Okay, I jumped ahead a little bit. okay, so now transitioning to when you were 12 years old, mm-hmm. A pastor who was visiting your church gave an invitation to your congregation, and so now I wondered if you can talk about what that invitation was and how you responded.
Yeah, so I'm from a really, really tiny town, like very tiny. So
and what's the name of it?
The name of the town is San Vicente, okay. Baja okay. California. Yeah. So it's different churches. And so the thing is, like, before, I remember it was a lot of people going in evangelist little towns, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. praying for people. It was just like a revolutionary work for God. It was very strong.
Yeah.
So I remember this missionary, this man, he came, I don't know from what city, from Mexico, but so it was a couple of days of church, you know, like hours in church, mm-hmm. you know, with this, mm-hmm. you know, praying and just being in the spirit. It was just amazing. And one night he asked if you believe in Jesus, if you believe that he can do miracles, I just want everyone with a need to come to the altar. So I was 12, and I remember, oh, you know what? I have some pain in my mouth, so mm-hmm. I think I need to go to the dentist. But I didn't say nothing to my parents because I was so afraid to go to the dentist. And I say, okay, Lord, you can heal me, because he say, just come to the front, to the altar, and I'm going to do a prayer, and you're going to heal. So I didn't even...
Wow.
Dot, you know, about...
Didn't hesitate
at
all.
Yeah, I didn't hesitate. I say, okay, I'm going, and I'm going to be healed. So it was a lot of people, and I can see when he's praying, I can see the miracles, like one man have a leg more longer than the other one.
Yeah.
And you can see the legs are in alignment, and you can see, and other people have the problem earrings. He was healed. So I was right there in the front, and I said, okay, Jesus. And then he say, put your hand, whatever it is, your problem. So I remember I put my hands in my...
In your mouth?
Yeah, in my. And then I start praying, and then I receive a miracle. And then he say, oh, I'm just praying for people that have like cavities or something. Uh-huh. So God is doing everything new, and he's putting silver. So I was like, okay, thank you, Jesus, for the silver. So I was praying, and I was believing in God and Jesus. Yeah. So I went home.
And was it after he prayed that the pain went away? Because you have this excruciating pain.
In the instant went away.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I went home and check in the mirror or nothing. I just continued with my life.
Yeah, because everything was fine. You didn't have any more pain anymore.
No more pain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so later on, you went to go see a dentist. And I wondered if you can share what the dentist saw and what he said to you.
So when my miracle, I was 12 years old.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I continue going to different dentists, you know, during my life, but nobody say what's going on with my mouth. So like 4 years ago, I went with my dentist, and then he say, oh, we're going to take some pictures because we're going to remove the, you know, the silver thing. No, the silver, like
the filling.
The filling, because we need white. We need to put white fillings because of mercury.
Yeah.
And so the lady, she takes some pictures and everything. And when the doctor saw the picture, he say, this is not the filling that you have. it's not the mercury. And he was continue shaking my mouth.
Yeah.
And he said, I just have a weird question for you, Elena. And I say, yes. Oh, and then in the moment, I say, about my silver feelings. And he said, yes. How you pay for that silver? And why you want to have silver in your mouth? So he was so impressed. And I say, oh, when I was young, you know, I was in this church and I was in so much pain. And it was a pastor praying for miracles. And you know what? God put me that silver. And he was like, what? What? You know, repeating. And I say, yes, I just put my hands. And he prayed.
Yeah.
And I was healed. And he put the silver. And then he was so amazed. You know, he was so like, you can see his face like trying to understand and process.
Yeah.
But in the same time, he called the other people that are helping in the dentist place and say, hey, can you come over here? I just want you to see something very strange.
Yeah.
And then everybody's coming and looking in my mouth and then like, oh, what? What? This is a miracle.
Yeah.
And God knows that this is really a miracle and this is only God. So in my life, you know, those are the miracles that my God do, you know. God is so powerful.
Uh-huh. And it sounds like that day at the dental office, you introduced the Lord to, introduced Jesus to a lot of people.
They
definitely heard about him that day.
And, you know, and I have the silver, so everybody wants to see, you know, the pictures and the other people wants to see my mouth inside. And I say, you know what? If this can be an instrument for his glory, you know, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay because it can be a little uncomfortable, you know, like everybody wants to see your mouth. So so I say, you know what, Jesus, you did it for a reason. You did it for a purpose.
Yeah, yeah. And I just found it so fascinating, Elena, that, you know, we had talked about it earlier, that from what I remember back in the days, you know, when you talk about silver fillings, they were an amalgam, which contain copper, tin, and like you said, mercury, and that's, you know, where kind of the controversy came in of, you know, trying to extract that out. But with yours, it was just pure silver. There was nothing else, right? When they looked at your filling.
Yeah, it's pure silver, and it's still in my mouth. Pure silver. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, we also talked about this too. I'm just going to mention it that, you know, silver was used in the building of the temple that housed the ark. And so, you know, there's something about, you know, I don't know, I've always looked at silver like something that's holy. And I just felt like with you, the silver is in your mouth. And I felt like, you know, you have been an instrument of spreading God's, you know, hope and God's word and God's truths and his promises to people. So it's almost like, you know, God is using your mouth as an instrument for him. And, you know, what a better place to put those silver fillings, huh?
Amen.
In your mouth like that.
Yes.
Yeah. So what experience did this miracle have on you as you reflect back? How has it impacted your faith today as you reach out and pray for people?
God is a God of miracles. So this is the thing, like, probably no one can say, like, oh, you know, it's just God. No.
Yeah.
God is just my Father that he provides for me. Look, you know, I was in need to go to the dentist, and I didn't went because I was in so much fear. And here we go. My Father went in there, and he put the silver in me, and he take care of me. And in my life, you know, he's been so good to me. So good.
Yeah.
So it's just like I have this special connection with him. Like, he is my shepherd. Mm-hmm. He is, you know, I'm in under his wings.
Yes.
So that is so so nice to see that I'm not alone. Mm-hmm. He is with me.
Yes.
So I can see his miracles. I can see his glory. Mm-hmm. You know, I can feel him. So, you know, I hope that everyone, you know, can seek God with all his heart.
Yes, yes.
And God is going to provide, you know, the healing that everybody needs.
Yeah, yeah. Amen. Amen to that. And, you know, I couldn't help but think about your miracle and reflect on the fact that God made all things. And, you know, I just wanted to quote Colossians 1:16, all things that are in heaven and on earth were made by him. And, you know, God made them out of nothing. So, you know, why can't God produce silver out of nothing and use it to seal your cavities, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know this testimony has inspired and even challenged me not to limit what God can do. So I really, really appreciate your sharing this testimony.
You're welcome.
Okay, so I want to fast forward to later on in your life. You were married, but also homeless. And so I wanted to first ask you what happened that caused you to become homeless.
Yeah, so I came to the United States when I was 19.
Okay.
So I married my husband, David, and I was married for 20 years.
Yeah.
And then, so right now it's a little hard because I'm getting divorced, sure. But God is with me and with the family.
Yeah.
So, in one time of my life, so I think I was 21. I don't know for what reason, we don't have a place to live.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I was not so welcome in his family. So I all the time I just feel this rejection, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah. And David, he was like, it's okay. You know, we don't have a place to live, but we're going to rent something and we're going to find a place. So I don't want to call my parents and say that I don't have a place to live over mm-hmm. here. Mm-hmm. So I just pray to God, and I was just like, you know, I was in a little confusion in the season mm-hmm. in my life,
yeah,
because I was like, oh, this is not working, you know,
yeah,
this is not working, because yeah. I came when I was 19 and I was 21 and I was feeling I was going backwards.
Mm-hmm.
I was praying,
mm-hmm.
but I was feeling like, oh God, you know. So I remember I was size 10 in my clothes, and then I was to start losing weight. I was 8, I was 6, and I become oh, wow. to size 0.
Wow.
So
was a lot of that because you also weren't eating that well?
Yeah, or? So I was not eating well, and I was feeling sick, but I was feeling very sick, and I was feeling, oh, probably I'm feeling depression because mm-hmm. how I'm living, because yeah. I don't have a home. I don't have a place to take a shower. I remember we used the shower in the Olympic pool over there by the ocean
uh-huh,
street.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So we pay right there so we can go to swim, and after we take a shower.
Yeah.
So it was
very
good
difficult.
Because it was good, but it was difficult at mm-hmm. the same time. But, and then after one time I remember, so we parked the truck and David, he go to work, and I was remembered it was super, super hot and I was just sweating, and mm-hmm. I was feeling, oh God, I probably have fever or something, but I was so weak, so weak.
Mm.
So I get off from the truck, you know, we have like a camper thing. And mm-hmm. then I just get off and I just cross the street and I went to a gas station, and I remember I buy a bag of ice, and I just remember that I just threw it in my body because I was feeling I was dying. So I prayed to the Lord and I say, God, rescue me and guide me because I feel lost. You know, David, he's working, he's trying to provide, but it's not enough money to pay an apartment. So I just feel lost. In my desperation, you know, I call God, and I can feel he answered because someone you know, after I put the eyes in mm-hmm. my body, mm-hmm. someone knocking on the truck. And wow. it was this lady. So it was this lady that she lived in the apartment right there. Like, it was like this couple apartments. Mm-hmm. So I knew this lady.
Okay.
She was Christian. She had two kids. She was married. And then she say, Elena, I'm just checking in you. You know, how you doing? And she look at me and she say, oh, Elena, you're not doing good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then she helped me to get off from the truck. And then Elena, she say, you need to eat. Look at you. You losing more weight. So she take me to her apartment and her break, and she's trying to give me some soup. So as soon as she give me some soup, yeah. I just throw up everything.
Oh, everything. Nauseous.
Yeah, I was having so much nauseous, and then she say, okay, probably the soup is not good. Let me try ice cream. You know,
okay.
So she gave me ice cream, and yeah. it was the same thing. It was no good. And she said, you know what, Elena, I'm going to help you to take a shower. So I was so weak that she put a chair in her shower, and she helped me to take a shower. And I just remember that lady, it was just the arm of Jesus. So this lady... Yes. She have an impact in my life because she prayed for me, and then she put me in her car and she say, Elena, you're not doing so well, so I'm going to take you to the hospital.
Wow.
And she take me to the hospital, and when I get into the hospital, the doctor say, what is the family for this young lady? And then she say, oh, she's my neighbor, but she's living in the truck, but she's not doing so well. She's throwing up everything. And then the doctor wants someone to come and just sign some papers because I was not, you know, I was so weak
right.
that I was just dying.
Yeah.
So he runs a couple of tests, and he came to me and say, okay, Elena, I'm just going to say something, and you need to be very strong. Mm-hmm. So you are pregnant. You're pregnant, wow. but we don't know how to say baby because you're so weak.
Wow.
So he keep me in the hospital for a lot of weeks. And this is a miracle because this is my son, David. I was pregnant with my son, David, and I'm so proud of him. And and really, he's my other miracle.
Yes.
So for the 9 months, I was throwing up, and all my pregnancies, it was really hard. But you know what? This is so beautiful. You know, when I see myself right now and I see my son, David, I was like, okay, God, I know it was a lot of suffering, but the victory is in you, Jesus.
Yeah. And David is how old now?
19.
Yeah, 19. Yeah. And doing well.
And doing well. He's that weak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because at the time, there was a fear that you might lose.
Yes, lose him.
You might lose him, huh?
Yes.
Because of your health.
And yeah, I was so weak, and he was not getting the vitamins for, I think, 3 or 4 months.
Wow.
No
wow.
food, no nothing.
Yeah. And so you got the help, and then not only was David fine, but you also recovered too.
Yes, right? I recover. Yeah.
Wow. You know, so how do you explain how everything worked out the way it did? How do you explain that?
So I just feel like, you know, God have his hand. Mm-hmm. He never leave me.
Yeah.
So until today, he is my provision. He is my everything.
Yeah.
So I think is why I have the heart that I have, because I'm so clear for God.
Uh-huh,
He know who I am.
Yes.
He create me. He create me by his image. So I learn, I say, when someone is going through hard times and say, oh, Elena, but you don't understand. I understand because I've been through hard times. I've been through good times, hard times, And sometimes people say, oh, you don't understand my life. I was a homeless. I was living in the street.
Yeah.
I was not eating for 4 months. Yeah. And I'm still alive.
Yeah. And you were pregnant. And
I was pregnant.
And your baby turned out just fine.
And my baby, he's so strong. He's 19. And and you can see my miracles.
Yeah.
People sometimes don't understand. People see you like, oh, look at you. You look strong. Look, you're good with the Lord. But it is season in our life that is just so hard. So I just encourage you, whatever who's listening right now, I just say, when you see someone that is struggling, don't walk away. Don't walk away. Do a prayer. Buy a meal. Just be the arm of Jesus.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. You know, I couldn't help but think of Luke 6:35, and in the Message Bible, it says, help and give without expecting a return. You'll never regret it. And, you know, the New King James Version Bible goes on to say, you know, your reward will be great. And I just think of that lady that, you know, helped you, Elena, that not only did she do the right thing, but, you know, I'm sure her reward in heaven will be great, even though, you know, it might have gone unnoticed or, you know, it's not, you know, that she did that to get anything in return, but that, you know, that's just the way God is, huh?
Amen.
You know, that's his heart. He has that heart of compassion for others.
Amen.
And, you know, my other thought was, I shared this with you earlier, that this testimony gave me two different reactions. One was I was so moved by Luz, I think you said her name was, right?
Yes.
Her act of compassion poured out to you. But I also felt convicted, and I felt asking myself, you know, what would I do if I were to witness someone going through something similar of, you know, what you were going through? You know, would I do the right thing in the moment? And I just felt like your words of encouragement to the listeners were so so important to hear, and so I wondered again if you can for those that maybe might struggle to hear from God or might even be dealing with maybe some fears that they would have to reach out, what might you encourage them or what might you say to them?
Yeah, so I don't know the season that everybody is going
sure.
through, but the thing that I can know is that we worship a God that he's so powerful. And I know this world is falling apart. Yeah. This is not an easy world. This is not an easy transition that we're living. But I think if we just go in his presence, and probably people say, oh, yeah, you can go in his presence because you have the connection with the Lord. But no, I can, you know, God, just pray. Just pray. And you feel desperate, just talk to God and say, God, I just feel desperate. God, I need some help. You say that you're going to be with me. Just I need you to be walking with me. If you feel anxious, just pray to God and say, God, remove the anxious in my life. You know, anxious are not from you. So it is a lot of people that are hurting right now. So I just pray that it is the right people, you know, to help these people. Because, you know, assumptions is really hard. When you don't know how to pray, or people say, oh, I pray, but God don't listen because God don't give me the stuff that I'm asking. And I learned this. God is going to respond to us how he want our life. Not because I want this. Mm-hmm. He's going to provide it. No, he's going to provide it in the time, in his times.
Yes, yes.
And remember, his times are perfect.
Mm-hmm,
so it is not what Elena wants. Yeah. It's what God wants for me in his perfect timing.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. Amen, amen to that. And I know this experience that you had with Luz reaching out to you and you know, you felt the arms of Father God wrapped around you during that time, and the Lord ultimately brought you through, has really impacted now your life and how you give, and you, it's almost like you paying it forward and reaching out to others. So I wondered if you can share an experience you shared with me that happened last year when you and I think David, your son David, and daughter Summer went to go get something to eat after church, and what happened.
Yeah, so it was like a year ago. We get off from church, and I asked my son, "Hey, you have time so we can go and go for a little bite and get something very quick?" Yeah. And he said, "Yeah, I don't have too much time. I have like 30 minutes." So he went in his car, and he said, "Oh, let's go to Pialogy, you know, the pizza place. It is close to church."
Yeah.
So he drive over there, and I said, "Okay, see you over there." So I'm waiting for Summer in the car because she's still in the class. So, and then Summer, she's coming, and I say, hurry, because we have 30 minutes so we can meet and eat with little David and the pizza place. So when I'm driving to the pizza place, I notice this man. He's walking, crossing the light. But I just feel in my spirit like he's crossing the street, but he's crossing and walking with desperation, with hurt. I just feel like this heaviness in him.
Yeah.
So in the moment, I know that God wants me to do something, or he highlight this man for a purpose. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So in my head, I'm fighting with those thoughts that I have just 30 minutes to meet with my son. I didn't see my son for a week, and, you know, I want to know what's going on in his life. But on the other side, I have this man walking with so much hurt. So this is so weird because he walked and he sit down outside of the pizza. And in the moment, I realized that, oh, God, you send this man over here for something, for a reason, for a pizza, for a drink.
Yeah.
And I say to little David, can you ask the man if he wants a pizza and what is the thing that he wants on the pizza and a drink? And he went. The good thing is that he's obedient. So he went.
Yeah,
and he went and he said, okay. So he said, okay, just a pizza with pepperoni, cheese plain. So we waiting right there for the pizzas. And his outside is hot, and you can see his expression in his face. You know, you can feel the sadness. You can feel that he's really hurt. And he come inside, and he pick up the pizza and say thank you to little David. And little David say, oh, you're welcome. And then he look at me with the eyes are probably asking, who are you? You know? And then
he approached you.
Yeah, he approached to me. Yeah. And remember, his face is like anger, sad, and heaviness.
Uh-huh.
So and then he said, I just have a question for you. And then he tell me like what authority, like, okay. And I say, yes. And then he say, why you buy the pizza for me? And I say, because you're so loved by God. Because Jesus loves you. And just Jesus told me that I need to buy a meal for you.
Wow.
And he like, oh, okay. Like he was so confused. Like, and then you can see water in his eyes.
Yeah.
And I say, you're so special for God and for others, because, you know, God moved others, you know, you see he moved me so I can get the pizza for you. And then he was walking away, and then he go back like that, and he say, you know what? Never, never in my life someone buy something for me for free.
Wow.
Like everything, it was, you need to buy this, but you need to give me this, you know, in return of something.
Yeah.
And I say, but that is not the love of Jesus. You know, the love of Jesus is just loving, caring, and he is right there for you. So go and enjoy your meal. Go and enjoy your pizza. And when he was walking outside, he have a different face. It was not the same face. It was not the same person. Yeah. So I know God did something, you know, with that pizza.
Yes.
And it's not the pizza. It's the spirit, how God moves us in the spirit.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think myself and I say, imagine, and I just put like a wall and pretend I didn't see the need in people, or I'm too busy. I don't have money. You know, if I put those things, like, if I'm not open for God, imagine all, you know, the people that, it's a lot of people that are hurt.
Yes.
But we need to ask people, okay, you want me to do this? Just send me the people and send me the right words and, you know, give me your knowledge and understanding. Give me your wisdom.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. What? You changed a life that day for someone who had never received anything, and you introduced him to Jesus, didn't you?
Yes. Yeah.
And I think it's so neat, Elena, that, you know, the messages that and the things that you know, you could tell your own kids, do this, do that, but you are modeling Jesus to little David and Summer. And so I wonder if you can talk about the impact that had on them, or even other things that you've done, because I know that that's been so influential. You know, you live your life by example.
Yeah. So I just try to live my life sensing the Holy Spirit and God. So my kids feel when I'm going to pray for someone, and I feel God already highlight to my kids, because my kids say to me, oh no, we don't have time today, or mom, we came to just do this.
Yeah.
And I just say to my Summer, to my David, no, but it's just, you know, but, and then the kids say, I know God put this person in your heart, and say, Mom, God always put those person in your heart, in your path. And I said, but you know what? I believe that God created me for that reason. So if that is my legacy, to be in this earth so I can be the light for others and I can worship God and be an instrument for his glory, this is the thing that I'm going to continue doing until, you know, because I believe one time we're going to go in heaven and he's going to open the doors and he's going to say, okay, I'm going to see if you obedience, you know. We're not in this earth just so we can go to work and just we can feed our kids and we can do this. We have a purpose. So we really need to pray and ask the Lord, what is my purpose, you know? I don't want to live my life just based in the news and based in my work, you know. I just want to live my life based in the rock that is Jesus.
Yes.
I want to be strong in the Lord.
Yes.
No, I don't want to be strong in my own understanding. Mm-hmm. I just want my faith to grow and grow and grow for his glory.
Yes.
For his kingdom.
Amen. Well, you go, girl. I keep going, and I just, you know, that's so amazing to me that you know, your kids have it's like they know, don't they? You know, they know. Okay, you know, it's almost like they have their antennas up too, and they're on the lookout. And I just see where, you know, when you had asked little David if he could go and ask the man what kind of pizza he wanted, he didn't hesitate. He just went. I mean, it's like he knows, okay, Mom, you know, Mom needs to do this. Mom needs to minister to someone that Jesus is telling her to minister to. And they just have that expectation now. And I just think that's so awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so Elena, as we close our time together, I first of all want to thank you for being here on Catalyst Stories and sharing your testimonies and insights with us.
Very welcome.
Thank you. And I got to let our listeners know that our next Catalyst Stories video will feature a very powerful testimony from you, Elena. And so I'm just kind of putting the word out there and to be on the lookout for our listeners, be on the lookout for Elena's video, because you're going to be so amazed by the God that we serve, and yet another powerful testimony from Elena. So can't wait for that. Right now, Elena, I'd like to lift up a prayer of thanksgiving for your testimonies and for our listeners as well. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, Thank you for your presence in Elena's life so strongly since she was a very young young child. And thank you for the missionary that spoke into Elena, which catapulted her into a strong awareness of your presence in her. And Lord, help us to be open and look for opportunities to speak into others the way that Elena was spoken into and the way that Elena is speaking into others. And Jesus, I thank you for the miracle of healing in Elena's teeth by replacing those cavities with silver fillings. And Lord, we're reminded in Jeremiah 32:17 that says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you." And so we declare and acknowledge that creating silver fillings is not difficult for you, Almighty God, for nothing will be impossible with our God. That's Luke 1:37. And give us the kind of faith that recognizes that you, Father God, can do anything, Lord. And Father God, thank you for the people like Elena's neighbor, Luz, who knew something was not quite right with Elena's health and took action to make sure Elena was comfortable and got the medical attention that she needed. And I want to quote Luke 6:35 in the Message, "Help and give without expecting a return. You'll never regret it." And the King James Version says, "And your reward will be great." Not that we are looking out for a reward, but because it's your nature, Lord, to give without expectations, and you want us to do the same. And thank you, Holy Spirit, by the way that you prompted Elena today to reach out and pray for people, for the security guard at the pizza place, Lord, and how Elena was not only able to show compassion to him, but Lord, to set the example for her son and daughter, Lord, as well. And Father God, Lord, help us to show compassion to others that need you, Lord, as Elena said, in a world where people are looking for a Savior, Lord. And finally, thank you, Jesus, for protecting Elena and her baby David, Lord, during her pregnancy. I want to quote Psalms 121:7 that says, "The Lord will protect you from all harm. He will watch over your life." And now, Lord Jesus, may you use these testimonies in Elena's life to inspire all of us to become all that you created and called us to be in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you, Elena.
Thank you, Jan.
Yeah, and that's it for today's episode of Catalyst Stories. Until next time, take the time to reflect on and share your God-given testimonies and look and watch how God uses you to become an encouragement and inspiration to others. God bless.